Yet there is an agency of man that's at hand. And we have responsibility as children of God before the Lord. He saved us and he's equipped us as we're taking a look at on Sunday afternoons. And we've got a responsibility. And so in all that, we have things before us, different paths to take. Do we follow and look to our Lord for decisions that we make and all those things? So I realize that that's at hand. But in its basic form, we have choices and decisions before us, and we need to seek the Lord's face as his children to do and follow that which would glorify him. We've taken a different look at the choices that God has made and angels that he has chosen or elected, as the scriptures say. It's the same, those synonyms for one another, a place that he would put his name. That is Jerusalem, the nation of Israel that he chose, not because they were a great catch, but because of his desire. He chose a small nation to glorify himself in, and they will glorify him. He will bring it to pass. He's chosen different leaders. We've taken a look at that, whether it be prophets, whether it be kings. He's made choices there and the different things that he called them into, a priesthood. A king to come back for the rebuild, and then the apostles. He chose the apostles. And you and I look on at the apostles, and we would say, why in the world would he choose that one? Well, why in the world would he have to do with us? Amen? But he has. He has. And so we thank him for his mercy, love, and grace. You know, the Lord says, or it is said of the Lord, and it's so, the Lord doesn't call the prepared. He prepares the called. And that is true. That he might be glorified in that. Tonight we want to take a look at, or at least to begin to take a look at, the Lord choosing the Lord Jesus. And that's, the delineation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say what he is, but who he is and how he is. Remember, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the great three in one, live in eternity. And I don't know about you, but I am helped in trying to understand eternity, being finite myself. Eternity is over there and it always, you know? In eternity, it's always now. Best we can understand. Is there time in eternity? Well, in the way it's described to us, there is order. But you know, eternity. The Lord says in the scripture that he inhabits eternity. Well, we inhabit places. Well, he's using a reference, and it's not time, but a reference that's connected for us. It's the only way that we can understand about eternity is relative to time that we are in and that God has created for his footstool, the earth and the universe. He lives in a no time now place. Yeah, we just can't get a hold of it, can we? and so that's where the Lord is. He lives in eternity. And the Trinity, the Godhead, was there in eternity, but one day in the purpose of God and the working of God, we want to say time, don't we? But in eternity, God determined that the Son would come and become a man. And so then in that, God stepped into time and became subject to time. You remember how it was with Jesus? He was conceived. And then there's a time element in there in gestation. And then he was formed and developed and then was delivered. And he was a baby that had to be nursed by his mother. Jesus had his diapers changed. And then he grew up and got older and older. He had to learn. Jesus had to learn how to walk. Jesus had to learn how to talk. Do you comprehend that? You see what I'm saying? We believe it. We know it's so, but to really get a hold of it and understand it. So Jesus is eternal. The Son is eternal. Yet he became a man with a conception some 2,000, more than 2,000 or so years ago, and then made himself subject to time. And we know that at 30 years old, he started his ministry. And at 33 years, he gave himself on the cross of Calvary. And then he died willingly, was buried, and then rose from the dead. Does Jesus keep on having birthdays? Well, he's a man. I'm not saying that a birthday is celebrated, but you know what I'm saying, you know, we kind of think, I mean, when we die, we don't keep celebrating birthdays, but we know that we live eternally. You see what I'm saying? He is subject to time, but he's eternal. Wow, isn't that something? And he did all that so he could come and purchase, win, accomplish salvation for sinners, for his people. It's good to think about those things about our Lord and everything else about him. It helps us. And we need to do that. We need to learn about our Lord Jesus. So in this of Jesus becoming a man, he comes there. He is a man. He's separate from the sons of Adam. But yet he identifies with mankind through his mother. And so there is an element. He's amongst us as mankind. And in that, he was chosen of God to do what he did. And so let's go over here to Isaiah 42. And I hope I can navigate this well. It's with the device, you get up here and you forget everything you ever knew about it. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Yeah. No, because my notes are, it won't be laid out like mine. I'll have just as much trouble getting around. Isaiah 42, let's take a look at this. And I think I'm going to make it. Let's take a look at this in Isaiah 42. Behold my servant. So Isaiah, he's a prophet to the kingdom of Judah, right? And here we have in this chapter, behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth. Okay, this is God speaking, right? Through the prophet. And so he has this one that he has chosen. That's what he's saying. He's chosen him. And his soul delighteth. And we have that witness and testimony in the New Testament scriptures, right? In the Gospels. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. At his baptism. And the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, right? I have put my spirit upon him. Wait a minute. Jesus is God. But as a man, it is so. Did Jesus need to be saved? No. He didn't need to be saved. He's divine. No sin, not a descendant of Adam. But as a man, the Father put the Spirit of God upon him. Brother Jim, isn't that automatic? Well, yeah, I get what you're saying about it being automatic since he's God. But if we can take and hear what the scripture is saying, as a man and then growing up, Jesus grew in favor with God and men, the scripture says, right? So he took his spirit and put his spirit upon him. It was prophesied. It's prophesied in this very same book that the Lord would do that. And the six spirits of God that the Lord put upon the Savior. And then I think that seventh is that of the Comforter in the church. Because in Revelation it tells us that the seven spirits of God are there before the throne of our Lord. So he said, I put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And we say, amen. Praise the Lord for it. He's going to bring forth justice. He's going to bring forth help. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He did preach, didn't he? He's not going to be an insurrectionist. They accused him. The Romans would be fearful of that. He wasn't a rioter. He wasn't a rebel. But he was an effective minister, wasn't he? Because of the Spirit of the Lord on him. A bruised reed shall he not break. I think about a cat of nine tail that's been kind of cracked and bent over, and you can see it watery right there. And as a kid, you try to stand it back up. Even that, the Lord Jesus coming so meek and mild, yet dealing very harshly with the leadership, that bruised cattail, that bruised reed, he would be so right and so on target and so well that he wouldn't even cause that to break over. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And I think about some of that in the fall. There's different things that grew there in southern Ohio that, you know, we would burn and that, and you know how it burns it up, but it's still in its shape, and then you just touch it and the ash falls apart. That's the picture that I see. A smoking flax shall he not quench. I mean, he's right down the line, right perfect. Wise as serpent, harmless as a dove. You and I, mankind, even we as children, were like bulls in a china shop. Not Jesus. He's just right there at the right place, right time, right words. Always. He shall bring forth judgment or justice unto truth. And he told Pilate. He came to bear witness of the truth. Pilate was in a quandary about what even the truth was. Remember that relative truth, or that unknowable truth, rather. He shall not fail nor be discouraged. I tell you what, Monday I was discouraged. I was discouraged Monday. I've had points of discouragement quite more frequently the last few years. Not the Lord. He never was discouraged. Isn't that something? And he bore up under the hardest, most difficult thing that a man has ever bore up under. For our sakes. Not for his own sake. He would be glorified in it. And he would accomplish obedience to the Father in it. And because of that, he's got a name above all names. And everything that there is due unto him. But you hear that? He did it for obedience to the Father and for his people. He did it for us. He shall not fail, which he did not, and has not, will not, nor be discouraged till he has set judgment, again, that justice in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. Well, one day it's going to be something to see Jesus reign for 1,000 years. I tell you what, the government in that day is going to be, we're going to believe it. We're going to have a body and mind like the Lord Jesus. That's just going to be normal, right? But this old earth and the inhabitants that remain are going to see something and healing and a structure that lasts 100 years. No, 200, no, 500, no, 750, 1,000 years. No, if I understand it correctly, no domain or dynasty has ever gone that long upon the earth with the same kind of motivation, order, and leadership. It'll be the same day one as it'll be 1,000 times 360 or 365. And this old earth will be in a shape like we have never even seen it. The healing will be all around. And everything that needs to be determined or adjudicated, he'll do it or have it done. He'll do it, or his children assigned will do it. And you know what? It'll go. No criminal will escape. No transgressor will be given the wrong sentence. Isn't that, that's just hard to comprehend, isn't it? No corner of the earth will be unknown or unseen of what's going on. There will be no dark alley to get away with stuff in. I mean, we just naturally would say, that just can't happen. But we know it will happen because our Lord will be in control. Thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith God the Lord, rather. He that created the heavens and stretched them out. He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. Remember the creation and how things came out of the earth, out of the water. He that giveth breath unto the people upon it. This is who's speaking about this one and what he's going to do. That giveth breath unto the people upon it and giveth spirit unto them that walk therein. That has given us our lives and our existence. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. This one that he speaks about in verse number one is servant. I've called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. You know, if there's any misunderstanding on our part about who the Lord is speaking to, a light for the Gentiles makes it totally and completely clear. Who's the light to us? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Father, Jehovah, said, I'm going to be with this servant. I'm going to be with this man. In every way there is to be with him, I will be with him. I've chosen him. I've called him to this work. And I will be with him and he will shine. He will be given as a covenant of the people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What greater testimony is there than the sacrifice of God, God sacrificing his own Son for the sake of sinners? What other thing ever done by man speaks greater than that? And not an attempt, but an accomplishment. He did it. And there's no question mark in this. He did it and it worked. It's effectual. We are saved by him. He's going to send him. He's called him in righteousness. He'll uphold him in that. Verse 7, to open the blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. If you remember the passages and the reference in the New Testament. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. There's a testimony, I believe it is in the Gospel of Matthew, where the people saw great light there in Cana of Galilee. And in that region of darkness where the people sat in darkness, paraphrasing, great light has sprung up. The Lord Jesus Christ. Out of Nazareth, if the spiritual could be seen, if the spiritual could be seen, if you will, the Lord Jesus Christ was shining the brightest that any person, any man had ever shone before. And it was manifested. It was manifested in his ministry. Open the blind eyes, bring out the prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison house, from the shackles of sin. I am the Lord, verse 8, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Jesus, when he prayed in John 17, he says he prays to the Father to restore the glory that he had with him before the foundation of the world, before the world was. There's no idol. There's no god of the gods of man. There's only one chosen that the Lord will glorify, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son himself seeks to do nothing but glorify the Father. And that he has done. Not a false god. Think about this. Isn't this... You think about Moloch or Dagon of the Philistines over there in their temple that they built for him. And that account that we have in the scriptures about they got a hold of the Ark of God and then they were sorry about it. Dagon's fallen over that next morning and they pick him back up and set him back up. And then the next morning Dagon's there and he got his head broke off and his arms broke off. All right. You know, Dagon never thought about having a son that would do something. You know, you hear what I'm saying? Dagon never thought about anything, right? But God considered to have his son come and do something for his people. That's how great and how expansive God is. One that maybe wouldn't understand about the Trinity would maybe... hearing that and receiving that, we say, I mean, there's more than one? Well, no, he's one. He's one. But he is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's how great he is. Well, I don't understand that. Well, I don't either. But it's true. We receive it, don't we? And one day I trust that we will be able to comprehend it in a greater way. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them, right? He knows the beginning from the end. He knows about his servant that he is calling and what he will come to do. Is it not so that in the book of Isaiah, I believe he says, okay, you want a sign? I'll give you a sign. A virgin will conceive. You want a sign? See, I think the point is, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. They say, we want a sign. So, well, okay, I'll give you a sign. I'm going to give you a sign you won't believe in the first place. A virgin will conceive. But you know what happened? A virgin did conceive and brought forth the Savior. You know, I think an element there is the people were so soured. This chapter speaks to it too. The people are so soured on God and on his way, they just don't believe anything from him. They hold to their religion that they've taken and shaped the way that they want it and totally taken and shoved God out, teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men, right? That's what Jesus said about his generation. The former things are come to pass, and the new things I declare. I tell you what's going to happen. And the thing is, the in that sense of the Lord giving the old covenant to Israel that they could not keep, well, he'll give a new covenant that he'll keep. That's how we're saved, isn't it? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his blood and by his mercy, by his working. He said he'll take his law and his way and his word and put it in their hearts. It will not be dependent on them keeping anything. It'll be a salvation that indeed will be effectual, because in the law it was proven that we could not hold up our end. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and praise and his praise from the end of the earth, verse 10, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. You know, we have this, we've been looking at this with the minor prophets about hearing from the Lord and then the prophet interjecting. You know, I think Isaiah is possibly rejoicing here, that it is Isaiah, if you will, reacting to what he's been told and been given. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. Praise be to the Lord, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rock sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. I mean, praise be to God for who he is and what he's doing and his power and his goodness towards men. Remember, all this is directed towards the saving of his people. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. You know, Jesus, when he stood after his the beginning of his ministry and he went back to stand up to read there in the synagogue in Nazareth, and out of Luke, I believe it is, and the account is in the book of Luke, I believe, and he's reading out of Isaiah, and he stops before he gets to the judgment part, and he closes the book and hands it back to the minister, which is really was a scroll, and he handed it back, and he said, "This day is this fulfilled in your ears." You know, but there's more that the Lord will do beyond the salvation of his people. He will bring justice and judgment. What do you think about justice and judgment to date? Is that happening in the world? I mean, we're seeing things turned upside down in our lives and our generation that we never would have thought would have been turned upside down. And it's a daily, a weekly, a daily occurrence of some new perverse thing. Isn't that something? But the Lord is going to straighten it out. Oh, he will go forth as a mighty man. So this is beyond his salvation. This is speaking about his justice and judgment, as it's been mentioned earlier. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. You know, if you're here and you're not saved, we beg you, I beg you, do not stand against God. Do not fight and resist God in lack of repentance and lack of faith and belief in him. Don't rebel against the Lord. The Father has sent his Son to be a Savior of sinners. That means that you need to be saved. You need the Lord. Period. Don't buck against that. There's no future in it. None. No future in it. He shall prevail against his enemies. And you're either with the Lord or you're against the Lord. I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now it seems like the Lord Jesus, this elect one, is speaking, doesn't it? Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. So we had the Father, if you will, speaking about the servant. We have an interjection of Isaiah glorifying the Lord and what he's heard. And now it seems like to me that the servant is speaking about what he will be doing. The long suffering of the Lord will only last so long. And then he will bring things to an end in his time. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. You know, these pictures of the great wrath of God and the wine fat and those that are reaped from the earth and placed into that wine press, and that wording that we hear in the same book about, I believe it is, about the Lord Jesus having his garments stained from treading the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God alone. He will devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs. I will make the rivers islands. I will dry up the pools. You don't have to worry about global warming, but you do need to be of utmost concern about the judgment of the Lord and his power. You know, God promised, just as an aside, God promised that one of the things that he would do to Israel is dry the place up. But the rest of the world didn't dry up, did it? And Israel did dry up. If they don't irrigate, once they get off the coast or off of Galilee, if they don't irrigate, not much grows. And now the blessing of the Lord is upon Israel, where they feed that part of the world incredibly. And that's just with them irrigating. What about when the Lord turns the rain on and it's season back there? Won't that be something? And he'll do that. So you don't have to worry about global warming. You need to be concerned about what the Lord says in his judgment. And I will bring the blind by the way that they knew not. Thank you, Father. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. That's what he's done for you and me. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. We'll stop right there for tonight. The elect of God, the elect servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of men, women, boys, and girls. Oh, what a Savior we have. What a Heavenly Father we have. What a great God and King we have. And Jesus was chosen of God to do those things for us. As a man, on the man side, he was chosen. You know, Jesus was the only man that could. None of our father Adam's descendants could do these things. But Jesus was the man that could, and he did. What a Savior.